Hey guys, and welcome to the Manhood Unleashed podcast. We're so blessed and excited to have Phil Bynes of Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur on the show today. Stick around, you're not going to miss a moment. All right. Mr. Phil, how's it going, buddy?
All is well, my brother.
Good, man. Good. So what's big and new in your world right now?
Oh, man, there's so much that's going on in the world of Phil Bynes and his family. I guess the biggest thing that we just moved into another place after being kind of in transition for a while. And so that's exciting.
Yeah, man, that's exciting. And it can be a little nerve wracking at times, too, to make those big transitions and stuff.
Yes, sir. Definitely can be.
Indeed. Well, hey, man, before we kind of get into, we're going to be talking about the church as an organism versus an organization today. Before we kind of get into the meat and potatoes and nitty gritty of that, do you mind praying us in and praying over our time together?
Yeah, it's not a problem.
Thanks, man.
Father God, we just lift up this meeting together, Father God, and we lift up the subsequent meetings that will come around this actual broadcast when it's rebroadcast. Lord God, we just thank you for the men that are listening in, Father God. We pray that you would open their hearts and open their minds, Lord God. Give them new and fresh perspective, Father God, and help them to move into what I believe you're calling for the church as a whole to move into, and that's becoming the body, the church. And that's it, Lord. We just lift you. We lift them up now, and we lift you up in Jesus' mighty name. We pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, cool, man. Appreciate that. So, we're talking about organism versus organization. So, give us a little background and framework on kind of where we're going to be going with this conversation today, and kind of what I mean by that is, when people hear the church as an organization, and when they hear the church as an organism, What does that mean to you, so that our guys are on the same page as kind of what we're conversating about today?
Sure enough. So when I say that the church is an organism versus the organization, let's look at organization first. You know, with organizations, there is a structure. There's a hard structure to organizations. And so you might have a CEO, you might have a CFO, you might have these different departments. And what I've witnesses as they grow, you know, it just becomes more organized. You know, you add more pieces to the puzzle, you know, versus the organism, it is organic and it grows as one. And so that's really the difference between the two, the major difference.
Yeah, I definitely see that, man. And, you know, I think, and tell me if this is kind of your thought process. Well, as you, it's kind of like a continuum almost. You've got organization on one side, organism on the other side. And as you shift one way or the other, the pendulum swings. Mm-hmm. To me, a lot of it is around complexity and busyness. You know, you kind of get in that, man, we're very task oriented. You know, if you're a church, you're like, well, we got to have the worship experience be on point every single week. You know, we've got to have everything dialed in. You know, the lights got to be right. The audio's got to be right. The video's got to be right. You know, we've got to give a massage to the pastor, so he's kind of in his groove and all that kind of stuff. So you've got all these like tasks. And to me, that's when it shifts more toward organization and away from the organism. Is that kind of your thought about it too, or what do you think?
Yeah, that's definitely one portion of the perspective. Like, you know, you have these individual parts that are working separate, and they're trying to work together, but really what they're doing is they're working separate, and they're trying to stay in their lane, doing what they're supposed to do, right? But the problem is the focus becomes self-centered versus whole-centered. And that's where the challenge in that organizational structure falls into place. And even the best, you know, even the best meaning pastors or church planters or whatever, their desire is for unity. But what happens in organization is just by nature, it kind of causes disunity as it grows.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge.
I hear that, man. I hear that. That makes sense. So, this is my thought too. I would say that a lot of our churches here in the West are pivoting that pendulum over toward the organization side rather than away from the organism side. So if that, you know, I'm kind of guessing, I don't have any hard facts or anything to back that up, but if indeed that is true, which I think we surmise and the premise that it is, what is the solution? How do we get back to where we're focusing in as an organization, we're growing together in unity and community? How do we pivot back in the correct direction?
Well, the challenge is just to change our perspective just a little bit, you know? And so for me, you know, this came from me just kind of meditating on this ideal of the body. What Jesus talks about is that we're the body. So why is it that he's saying that we're the body? Right. And so what I discovered after, you know, meditating on this and pondering it, and I believe, you know, God dropped some revelation, is that as we fight for unity and as we look to what's the word I'm looking for, prefer others before us, you know, in love, we will start to automatically start to shift back to organism versus organization. Yeah. It becomes less of, okay, God has this for me to do, and how do I do this versus, Laura, what are you doing? And, oh, I see my brother's doing this. This is how I can help. And in doing that, we become more unified.
That's good, man. And I think the extension of that too is as we negatively shift toward organization, the mindset becomes very, very entity focused rather than God focused. It's like, how do I build the platform of my little C church? How do I enhance the platform of my little C church? And, you know, you become kind of like a holy huddle. You want people to come in, but it's just because you want to make your little C church bigger. So I think the other mindset shift too, an extension of that, is putting God first again, returning to our first love, right? And I think it's just such a slippery slope, because there are, you know, there are abundance of tasks and stuff that needs to be done to be able to accomplish the mission that the little C church is given, you know, our local church. And as pastors, as, you know, key volunteers, as anybody involved in the process, you know, we really have to keep an eye on, is God indeed still our primary focus? Are we worshiping him through what we're doing? And I think a good kind of barometer of that is being able to be interrupted. You know, I find personally that if I'm like, man, I got to get another video out, or I've got to type up a blog, or I've got to, you know, schedule to have this guest on the show, and I've got all my tasks and stuff that do need to be done. But if I get a call from somebody that's like, man, you know, I've got this hurt going on, or I need to talk about this. Well, you know, we look at the life of Christ. What did he do? He always pivoted to meet and serve the person that's in front of him. And I think that's part of helping to shift the pendulum back to organism from organization as well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the greatest challenge to people is the fact that when they look at doing stuff for God versus doing things with God, right?
Mm, that's good, so, man.
What happens is when you're trying to do stuff for God, you have a whole list of things that you think that you're supposed to do. This will be prudent. This is good stewardship. But a lot of times what God is looking for is for the relationship, right?
Yeah.
In the Garden of Eden, he would come in the cool of the day and spend time with Adam, you know, and Eve there, you know. But it wasn't about the task. He gave them work to do, but he gave them freedom in that work to do. But what he wanted to do is spend time with them. He wanted to relate with them. He wanted to commune with them. He wanted to have fellowship. And that's the one thing that, matter of fact, the Holy Spirit just uncovered something in the scripture that I had never seen before recently. And I was reading like the prayer that Jesus had for his disciples right before he went up into heaven. He was praying, and in his prayer, he said, Father, you know, I'm leaving them the glory that you gave to me. And I was like, the glory that the Father gave you, he left it for us. What is that? And as I was looking at it, it was about unity. It was all about, you know, make them one as I am in you and you are in me. So we are in them. And And so the whole beautiful aspect of the organism is that we are one, we are joined together. But if we're not going to the source to find out, okay, what do you want to do in this moment? Then we can come up with all kind of things that don't, you know, that God sees our heart, but it's not necessarily pleasing to him. It's like when you get a gift from your kids for Father's Day. If they don't ask you and they just bring you something that they thought, oh, this would be cool. A lot of times they bring you what they like.
Yeah,
they're not bringing you what you want. And the only way they would know what you want is to have that conversation, to communicate with you, to commune with you. And if we practice that a little bit more in the church, in the organism that is the church, we will definitely flow more towards the organism side of that pendulum.
Yeah, that's good, man. And, you know, as you're kind of talking about that, that kind of sparked my mind too. You know, the idea, there's the organism of the membership inside of the little C church, but the greater organism is the big C church, Bride of Christ. And, you know, as you're sharing, you know, that scripture and everything about unity, that's absolutely God's heart. And, you know, it's so key that we have to think, we've got to put aside preferences in order to prioritize unity, because that was God's heart. That is God's heart. And we can't have a little bit of this and thus Baptist over here and a little bit this and thus Methodist. And, you know, we have to unify around the gospel and become that organism that God designed us to be, so that we can accomplish the kingdom tasks that he has put before us. Because we're in a day and time where, you know, the tools have never been greater for getting the gospel out. I mean, we're doing a podcast right now. As soon as we, you know, finish production and everything and syndicate it out, it could literally go to anybody that has an internet connection. And with that kind of reach, you know, we have to be very, very cognizant of working together as different little C compartmentalized churches into the big C Bride of Christ church, so that we can reach more people and hurry the day for Christ to return. Because, man, we've got a big task in front of us, and, you know, he says the laborers are few, so we got to get after it.
Yeah. And, you know, the other challenge that the Lord has showed me is that, you know, a lot of people think of themselves too high, or they think of themselves bigger than they should, right? In the grand scheme of the church, universal, if we look at that under the proper proportions, we would realize that every member of the body of Christ is more of the proportion of a cell. But when we talk about we're the body of Christ in church, a lot of times what we'll say is, you know, I'm the arm, or I am the hand, or I'm the finger, because we're looking at the organization, which is that built, I shouldn't say it like that. We're looking at the part of the church that we represent, our own little piece of it, and we're looking at that as it's bigger than what it is. But in the grand scheme of the wholeness of the body of Christ, is really small. It's much smaller than we think. And if we actually gave it the proper size in our minds, then it would help us to be able to articulate. And that just means connect with each other a little bit better. But if I feel like I'm a hand size, and, you know, I'm the hand of Christ, if someone else next to me in another church saying that they're the hand of Christ, and then the church down the street from there saying they're the hand of Christ, then we're like, okay, well, how do we all fit together? We're too big. But really, we might be a part of the hand. Instead of being the whole hand, maybe we are just a joint that's in that right hand, right? Yeah. When we recognize our size, then it's easier to fit into what other people are doing around us. I know when my pastor in the church that me and the wife were a part of for like the last 20 years or so, we recently left. Nothing went wrong, but we just feel like God is calling us into something else. He was saying that when God called him into the region that he was called to, he began to reach out to all the churches around. And he was like, hey, you know, I just wanted to find out what you guys are doing because God called me here. And, you know, he was looking to get unified. And the pastors in the region were like, why would God call you here? He has me. Like, that's what happens when we get into that whole the organization side of it. And you can tell when a church is thinking about the organization versus the organism, because they would say stuff like, they know that Christ is the head of the body, the church, right? But then when they're talking about their own congregation, it's like, well, the blessing comes from the head down, as if it has to hit the pastor first. Well, hold up. When did the pastor become a second head? I thought anything with two heads is a monster, right? Yeah. You're thinking of yourself a little too big. Yeah. Maybe you are a part of the neck, right? Mm. Or, you know, maybe you're a neuron. We don't know. But when we think too big, we tend to get separated or we get segmented because we just don't know how to fit with other people. And it's not intentional. It's just what happens, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But when we look at things in a proper scale, everything shifts.
That's good, man. That's good. Yeah. You know, I think that something that me and the wife have kind of been journeying through is, and this is a little bit off topic, but I'll bring it back to what we're talking about. We always put it through, my wife's name's Fernanda, so I'm Andrew, she's Fernanda. I put it through Andrew's filter of what God's calling me to do. Like, okay, you know, he wants me to reach men through video. Okay, well, that's got to look this way. And Fernanda's, you know, when she's working in her calling and her ministry, she works with kids and stuff. She's like, okay, you know, I'm called to reach kids. It's got to look this way. And what I'm kind of getting at is the same thing with, you know, exactly like what joint, or am I the fingernail, or am I the cuticle, or am I the, you know, what part am I in the whole scheme of the organism of the church? You know, we have to make sure that we don't try to put our own perspective and vision of what God wants us to do and box him in by doing that, because his vision and plan is so much bigger and grander and more focused to getting him glory, to winning people to Christ. His plan and vision is so much beyond the scope of anything that we could possibly even think of, that we can't put our little finite minds and say, this is how it has to be. No, you have to hold it loosely. You have to hold it loosely and let God just completely lead through it.
Yeah, that's it. And what happens is you just don't have enough understanding of what he's doing, right? And he knows that you couldn't handle it. That's why he's like, you need to walk with me. Mm-hmm. You need to do things with me, because I'm going to show you something, right? And if you get proficient at that thing that I show you, if you stop walking with me, you'll keep down that path when I was ready to make a detour and take you somewhere else. I hear that all the time, especially in the world of entrepreneurship, when people are trying to do business with God. They will start down a path going one way. And then as soon as they get proficient at it, the Lord's like, okay, we're not doing this anymore. We're going over here. And it looks like something completely different or separate. But only God knows what he put inside you for what he put it inside you for.
Yeah.
Right? And so he's going to take you one place, give you a little bit, take you somewhere else, give you a little bit more. But he's taking you somewhere, right? And we have to walk with him to get that. But what happens a lot of times, you know, just like a child that's trying to grow up too fast, we let go of God's hands. Like, okay, I know what to do. I know what to do. And we run off and we do stuff. And it's not quite what he has for us, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll bless us sometimes, but it's not the ideal that he had for you. And so we have to get back to, what's this identity that you're giving me? And the only way you can continually get the refreshing of your identity is to continually go back to the source and get that.
Yeah.
And that's where the challenge lies.
I agree, man. I agree. And, you know, talking about challenges, and, you know, our audience is Christian men, you know, we speak to the saints directly and all that. So kind of with that in mind, man, Phil, what would you say to the guy that's tuning in and checking out the video and the podcast and everything, that's like, you know, I'm on board with what you guys are saying. I see the downfall and the traps of organizationalism inside the church. I see that biblically God's calling us to an organism model. What role can I play? Where do I fit in, you know, in making this transition? You know, maybe my church is super focused on the organizational aspect of it right now. What can I do as a man inside my church, inside my family, to actually start changing that mindset and start pivoting us as a community, as a faith community, to the correct perspective of an organism? How do I do that?
Yeah, I would say that it all starts with the individual. Although you don't want to be self-centered, you have to start with what you can change first, which is you, right? And so the big thing that I would say is just take time to get with the Holy Spirit and ask identity questions of the Father, right? Because the Father likes to talk to us about our identity, and the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth, right? So what we do is we just ask those questions. Father God, what do you want to show me about myself today? Who am I? Who am I called to be? Like when I stepped into this role of kingdom-driven entrepreneur, the only thing that the Lord would speak to me about before I took over this role, and I took it over from my wife. This was my wife's baby. And then eventually she, let me have it because God said that I was the next, right? And the only thing God spoke to me about is my identity as father. He said, Phil, you're a father. And then he sent prophetic people to keep saying, Father, 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 right? And so eventually I said, okay, Lord, so what does a father look like in this role? That was the first question. What do fathers do? Then he started talking to me about what fathers set identity for the house. Fathers set this, fathers do that, right? So he began to talk to me about what fathers do in general, right? And then he began to show me what I do, right? And why I was valuable. So the first thing I would say, men, is that we got to ask the source. We got to ask Father God, who are you creating me to be? What do you want me to know in this season? Who do you want me to be? And as you do that, he'll continually unravel all the things that he's placed inside of you. And as you try to walk out what he's showing you, ultimately you're going to become an example for the other people around you because they're going to notice something different. And I think that that's a good starting point. And as you do that, you'll become proficient with it and he'll give you more wisdom. Then you start asking other type of questions, right? Other identity questions, sometimes open-ended, sometimes closed-ended. But, he'll give us wisdom on, the Holy Spirit will lead us into wisdom on what we should ask. If we don't know what to ask, Holy Spirit, what should I ask? And then whatever pop in your mind, you do it. So we have no excuse. He's here. He's our helper. He's our and Jesus is our advocate. So we're good, man. We just ask those identity questions, and that will be the start of walking with God.
Yeah, that's good, man. So for us as guys, I think that's our sticking point from this video is we need to press into God, ask those identity questions, and really have an attuned listening ear and be willing to embrace what he tells us. Oftentimes we'll kind of get stuff and we'll just kind of be like, what do I do with it? Or that's not really comfortable. I don't want to be about that. But we have to commit to saying, hey, you know what? This is what God's telling me about who I am, what he's calling me to be, and how those two things intersect. And then we have to agree with him and move forward in that. So I think that's for us, that's my challenge to me personally. That's my challenge to all the guys tuning in. And kind of with that, I tell you what, man, do you mind just praying over the guys that are watching the video right now? Do you mind praying over them and
Sure, I'll pray over
just
them.
do it, man?
And just before I roll into the prayer, I just want to give you guys this sports analogy. It's like take it one play at a time. It's all practice, and you're getting better in practice, okay? So you don't have to get it right. It might look ugly. It might look messy in the beginning. One play at a time, we're practicing.
That's good.
Now, Father God, we encourage your men before you now, Lord God. We say that they are mighty men of valor, and they have everything inside them that they need for life and godliness. And Father God, we just call out the gold that's in them now, Father God, the gold of unity, Lord God. Father God, teach them how to be one with each other. Teach them how to be one with their families. Just teach them, Lord God. Give them step-by-step instruction. Father God, we just decree and declare, Lord God, they will no longer operate as lone wolves or singular vessels in the night, Lord God, but they would know how to operate as a unified front, Lord God. We just give you thanks. We give you praise. We magnify you and glorify you for all that you want to do in and through your man here. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
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 Phil, man, thank you so much, man. It was great having you on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. I'd love to have you back anytime when your schedule accommodates it, and we'll let the Holy Spirit lead. Whatever topic he brings up, we'll hash it out, man.
Sure thing, my brother.
Cool, man. So, guys, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Want to shout out to our Buzzsprout. They're our podcast affiliate. They actually host our podcast and syndicate it out. So super thankful for them. And if you guys are interested in doing a podcast of your own, you can actually click the link down in the description. And that's our affiliate link. We'll get a small commission, no extra cost to you guys. And I believe if you do it right now, you'll actually get a $20 Amazon card for signing up with them. So there's incentive both ways there. So check them out. And as always, guys, come back for the next video. You're loved, you're prayed for, and be strong out there and start focusing in on shifting the pendulum from organization to organism in your church. We can do it. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. All right, guys, God bless.